Father, thank you for the truth you've given us. Thank you for opening our eyes, and thank you for bringing us to you, for drawing us to you, and help us tonight to more fully understand our walk, what you would have for us to do, how you would have us to live this life. Help us, after understanding it, to then do it. Help us to walk worthy of our calling. We pray tonight especially for Nancy. Help her with her pain she's in. You know her body better than any doctor. You are the one who has designed and created the body. And so it is to you that we look for help. And that being said, we do go to the doctors too, and we take their advice too. And so help it to be good advice that she gets from the doctor, and help it to accomplish the goal of ridding her body of the infection and relieving the pain she's in. So help us just to understand your word tonight. Lead us in your truth by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. We are in Ephesians chapter 4. Last week we started a paragraph beginning with verse 17, which I will reread and will slightly review last week's lesson too. So Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to walk all uncleanness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So the call in verse 17 is to no longer walk as the Gentiles walk. This walk is the way of life. It is the way we conduct ourselves. It's not how we walk with our legs, but it is how we behave. And the call is to no longer walk like the unsaved world walks. Every believer was once a believer. We are to no longer walk the way we used to. This walk was our former walk. It's first described as a futile mind. It begins with the inner person, the mind. This mind is futile. It is useless. It is vanity. It can accomplish nothing that is spiritually good. A man cannot think his way to God or think his way to salvation. The mind does function, but it's set on earthly things, not on things above. The unsaved mind is full of self-centered emptiness. It's useless, worthless, aimless, and purposeless. And a useless mind produces a useless life. The next description is darkened understanding, having their understanding darkened. The unsaved have a darkened understanding. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deed should be exposed. That's what John writes about it. This darkness of the understanding is deliberate. It is willful darkness. The next description is alienated from the life of God. That is, they have no spiritual life. They are dead in their trespasses and sins, in which they walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. They are by nature children of wrath. So this is spiritual death. They are dead without the life that God gives. There's ignorance within them. They're ignorant of the truth. That is, they reject the truth. They reject the gospel. They may know the facts of the gospel, the facts of the Bible, but they do not believe it. They are ignorant, then they choose to believe the lie rather than the truth. They have a blind heart or a hard heart. They have hardened themselves against God. They're incapable of seeing when good comes. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. This deceitful heart is blind to the fact that it is blind. They're past feeling or callous or shameless. They're insensitive to sin. They have rejected God's standards and they live instead by their own changing values. They grow from bad to worse, having a seared conscience. The more they sin, the more they excuse their sin. And this goes along with the deceitful heart. They think that they are good. They think that they're okay.
Would you say that dead in evil sin?
Dead in sin, yeah.
Dead in sin, okay. If I wrote down dead to evil sin, the last time I think we talked, that's what someone said. After we said, because of the blindness of their heart, the ignorance of them, I can draw a little parenthesis, dead to evil sin.
We are called to be dead to sin, not to let sin rule over us. We are to put to death the deeds of the body. So instead of sorrowing over sin and repenting, they glory in their shame. They take pride in their sin. They not only do their own sins, but they take pleasure in others who do them. And after getting conscience out of the way, they give themselves over to lewdness. You asked about lewdness and what it means. This word translated lewdness occurs 10 times in the New Testament. In 2 Peter 2:7, it's used for the filthy conduct of the wicked in Sodom and Gomorrah. Peter writes in 1 Peter 4, we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. Lewdness is grouped with adultery, fornication, and uncleanness at the beginning of the list of the works of the flesh in Galatians 5. And again, it's grouped with uncleanness and fornication in 2 Corinthians 12:21. And in Romans 13:13, Paul wrote, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. So this lewdness goes along with both drunkenness and with sexual sins. The idea is that they are unrestrained in their sin. Their past feeling, as drunkenness can dull the senses, they have dulled senses. They cast off restraint, They seek only to gratify their own desire without care for others. And they give themselves over to lewdness. This is a conscious choice. They repeatedly choose to sin. They give themselves over to sin. Yes.
So they basically don't see no wrong in it.
They may at first, but yeah, they get over that, and they are past feeling. They stop caring at some point. At the same time that they give themselves over to sin, God gives them over to the sin that they choose to. What starts out as a bad choice turns into a sinful habit, and this habit turns into enslavement, and it gets to the point where they can't stop. They get more and more insensitive to sin, seek out worse and worse sins, trying to get some temporary feeling out of it. It's like becoming tolerant to a drug tolerance. You need more and more of a drug to get the same effect over time. So sin has the same principle to it. Sin is something you can't blame on anyone but yourself. You make repeated wrong choices. And there's a saying that a choice becomes a habit. A habit reaps a personality, and a personality reaps a character, and a character reaps a destiny. So this is the downward spiral of sin. They work all uncleanness with greediness, all uncleanness, whatever is morally impure, every kind in every form. The word to work here has to do with occupation. They are employed by their sin, and they do it greedily. They make a business out of uncleanness. They are greedy, always wanting more and never satisfied. And this describes every unbeliever. It describes us before we came to Christ. We may not have gone as deep as we could in our sin, but at some point God called us out of our uncleanness to walk in holiness. So there's a progression here, or a retrogression, starting out with doing things your own way, thinking your own thoughts, making your own choices. You cut yourself off from God, and as a result you live in ignorance. Your heart's blinded, and as a result of that blindness, you become shameless and indecent. And then, shamelessly living in indecency long enough, you come to the place where you give yourself over to your own desires. You cast off restraint. You're greedy for more. You have no limits to your behavior. That is the old walk. That is the path that we were on, that leads to destruction, and this is the way of the world. We are called to not walk the way we used to walk. So verse 20 now. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. You did learn Christ, but you did not learn him in this way or in this manner. Yeah, Curtis.
Those verses before. So in other words, before there, all those verses.
Yes.
So in other words there, the basic thing there is, if a man thinks he can do it without God, he's finished.
Yeah. Yeah. Without God, this is the life of the unbeliever. Sin leading to more sin. So Paul says, you have not learned Christ in this manner, in this way. When we first learn Christ, the call of the gospel is a call to repentance. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repentance is a big part of our salvation. We can't live the same way We can't live the same unclean lifestyle we wanted to before. If we continue to live like the world, we should question whether we are saved. James writes, "Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." So we need to make a conscious effort to cut off our ties with the world system, with the thoughts and activities of the world. The world says to follow your heart, but Christ says, follow me. John writes in 1 John 2, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." So if you're really saved, you will walk differently than you did before. You will be at odds with the world. Curtis, again.
It will be the change of the heart.
Yes.
When you get saved, he also not only opens our eyes and saves us, he changes our heart.
Mm-hmm.
And
a change of heart and a change of our mind.
Exactly. The way we think.
Yeah.
We don't want to do or be the way that we was before because we know it's wrong.
Yes.
Is that the word heart? But you have not so learned Christ.
Yes, but he's contrasting what the believers have learned from what the unbelievers have not learned. So, how did they learn Christ? Or what were the parts to learning Christ? First, you have heard him. The first part is you have heard him. And this is not just hearing with the ears, hearing about Christ, because that may fall on deaf ears. This hearing is to receive with understanding. To learn Christ is to hear him speak to your heart and to respond in obedience with faith. This has to do with believing, with our first coming to Christ when he calls us. And the second part of learning Christ is to be taught by him. To be taught in him, it may be translated. This is the process of growing in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What we have learned, we have been taught. And what we have been taught comes from him, from his word. To be taught in Christ is to continue being instructed in his word. So the first part could be, you have heard him, could be our one-time act of being saved, of justification, coming to know God. And being taught by him could be the process of sanctification, continuing in the faith, continuing to grow in him. And that both of those points fall under learning Christ. Just as the truth is in Jesus. What we have learned, what we have heard, and what we have been taught is the truth. 1 John 5:20 says, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." We learn Christ when we learn Christ, we learn the truth, and Christ cannot be separated from the truth.
So,
yes.
So isn't that also, ye abide in me and my words abide in you?
Yeah, remaining in the truth, remaining
that's
in him.
John chapter 15. We know what that's talking about.
So the true knowledge of Christ, hearing him, being taught in him, is connected with putting to death our sin. or the mortification of sin. What we learned, the truth we have heard and have been taught, is that we need to repent. That is, we need to put off the old man or the old self. We need to stop our past behavior, our former conduct. This is the negative aspect of the command. We need to stop doing what we used to do. We need to stop thinking like the world. This former lifestyle is a corrupting influence on us. It leads to destruction. We need to do this all the time, continually, day by day. We need to make every effort to throw away our old life. The word to put off is used a few times throughout Scripture. In Romans 13:12, Paul writes, "Let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light." In Ephesians 4:25, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." Colossians 3:8, "But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth." Hebrews 12:1, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." James writes, James 1:21, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." 1 Peter 2:1, "Therefore laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." So these are the works of the old man, the things we are to put away. These are the works of darkness: lying, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, every weight, the sin which so easily ensnares us, all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. These are the other scriptures that use that word to put off, and these are the things that describe our old man. Yes.
Now you said the sin that ensnares us.
Mm-hmm.
Is that because that one sin can lead to another sin and another sin? And you said long ago that leads to corruptness.
It grows corrupt. It leads to destruction. Yeah. I get the picture of like a vine wrapping around your foot while you're running.
Exactly.
It's not just the part here, but it's a long trail, and it keeps going on, on and on. So if we continue in these sins, they will deceive us and corrupt our walk. We need to mortify the deeds of the body to put our sin to death. Because sin is working against us. Sin deceives us. It is never good, although it tries to look good to us.
And because we've been redeemed,
amen.
Mm-hmm.
That Galatians 5:16 and 17 comes into effect, because the Spirit wars with the flesh. And when we do things like that, there's a war going on in the mind, according to Romans 7:25.
That's right. So the deceitfulness of sin will lead to destruction. The wages of sin is death. We are to put away the old man or the old self. It's not just the actions that we used to do, it is us, the old self. We are to be changed, not only our acts. And
I think everything depends on the Holy Spirit.
It does.
he says here, he says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know, we can take that and do it. Everybody puts too much emphasis on education. You know who I went to when I was young, before I was saved? Was a man who couldn't read one. But he told me all about the Bible. He had the Holy Spirit. He told me about the cars that would be here. They would run like rabbits. Look what we got today. And all that stuff. I'd go and sit with him for hours. He lived on Shanley, on the river right now. And he impressed me more than anybody. That's the reason, you know, I always say, get on your knees, get close, get the Holy Spirit. In other words, get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Get as close as you can get to Him.
Okay.
That's the educator. Give fear to your mouth when it comes to time. He said, when you deliver up, take on thought of what you say. Don't say it or nothing. Give fear to your mouth. It'll come out. And it will. It's happened many, many times.
The first positive aspect of the command now is to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There's a negative to put off the old man, and a positive, there's actually two positives. The first is to be renewed. I think of like a magnet having two poles. We should be repelled against the old man and attracted to the renewal and the new man.
To be born again.
Well, it begins with
to
that. Yes.
Was for me to be born again. You know, that was the renewing of my mind. Was I need to be born again. I really needed. I mean, I said with my mouth that I picked Jesus to present and needed to be baptized. You know, to be born again. Like you said, he felt with that. You know. John 3, you know, you must be born again. And that word must be, we have to be born again. You know?
That's right.
How I feel. You know, I don't know if that, you know, some people feel that baptism is a symbol, you know, but I think it's a little more than just a symbol. I think
when you receive Christ as a Lord and Savior, okay? He's talking about not you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. How do you get the Holy Spirit? But you receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. Yeah. We have the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And John the Baptist, but I think he's talking. Well, then he's washed. We washed. Because Jesus is our Savior.
Amen.
So now we want to do what he did. So we want to be baptized. We already have the Holy Spirit. When you ask Christ as your Lord and Savior, what does he do? What does he do there?
You want to get baptized? Jesus is on himself, yeah, yeah.
He does John baptized.
And then walk and see the yeah. Trinity there when he's baptized.
Right. John baptized with God, water.
God said, this is my son. Jesus.
Well, Jesus.
Yeah, right.
The thought.
Yeah. And then thought the Spirit. All three.
But John himself said, "The one cometh after me, will baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit."
Yeah.
Wonder why he said that. John, he used the water. We need that. We need to be baptized in water. That's dying out in the sin.
Right.
Yeah. You know, but we need to get closer every day.
Yeah. That's the reason I'm saying. When we come up, we're renewed in the Spirit.
Yeah. 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 And think while you are seeking, you know. I had a lady come to me today and I baptized her in the fire of the Holy Spirit. And I had two last night I baptized. You know, people are seeking that. They're seeking a closer walk. You know, we can preach the water. Yes, we need to be baptized in water. I agree. But we also need, as you say, born again in the Spirit.
Yeah.
Get that fire on us. That's what's going to take us to. Jesus, he was resurrected by the Holy Spirit.
I like what that means. I mean, he was saying to us, you must be born again. That's, I mean, it's like, friend, no matter what you do, you must be born again.
Don't say
die to the old man.
Right. Don't say maybe, but it says plus two.
Must be.
I like what the NIV says in verse 1. It says, you were taught with regard in your former ways of life to put off your old self. There we go. Verse 23. To be made new in the attitude.
The attitude of your mind.
The attitude of your mind.
Yeah. I don't read that Bible.
The word here actually is spirit. One of them says Holy Spirit even uses that there. Did you have a question?
I am.
I was a male.
I had this thing in own Frankie and I, Napoleon, and I'm going to all these 5 foot.
I had sin on every side of the street.
I think Romans 12, 1 and 2 goes really good with that. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? So we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what. That's a good cross reference to that verse.
Through Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus. Amen. Yeah.
So I think being transformed, being renewed in the spirit of the mind, is not being conformed to the things of this world. That means completely, well, keep in context, put off the old man. In other words, if you're still holding on to something, the old man, you gotta have to kick it. Amen.
So the first part of the command is to put off the old. We do not only have to identify and repent of sin in our lives, but we are also next to be transformed. We are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind.
Isn't that also a spiritual growth process that we go through as believers?
Yeah. I don't think this is talking about the initial conversion. He is writing to believers. This is something we are to do all the time, every day, every hour, be renewed.
So crucify the flesh, cross the body.
We are to be like-minded, having the same love, being of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That is the renewed mind. We are to have the mind of Christ. And this new mind within us will hate sin, whereas our old mind would love our sin. This renewing of the mind will lead us to walk in holiness. It will restrain our sinful desires. Sin begins in the mind. So to stop sinning, to put off our old behavior, we need a changed mind. Our inward man should be renewed day by day. And the second positive part of the command is to put on the new man. I went back and looked up scriptures that use the verb to put on again, like I did with to put off. We are to put on the armor of light. We are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to put on the whole armor of God. We are to put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. We are to be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. So these are the qualities of the new man, the new self. We are to pursue holiness. This new man is created according to God, or created in the likeness of God, created to be like God. And this is described as true righteousness and holiness. True righteousness and holiness comes from God. It is not something we can attain on our own. There's none righteous, and no, not one. Our true righteousness comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth is in Jesus. He is our righteousness. This truth produces righteousness and holiness in us. And this is the truth contained in God's word. Jesus prayed to the Father, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." Yes.
True righteousness, true holiness. Now, we all know that a touch of God's love is what keeps changing our hearts. So then would it be being more obedient to His word? Because the Bible does say in 1 John 2:5, that whoso keepeth His word in Him verily is the love of God. Hereby know we that we are in Him. So, is that what it's called for?
It is. Yes, a walk in obedience to God, remaining in Him, walking in obedience to Him.
Well, whoso keepeth His words in Him, really is the love of God affected.
Yeah.
Keepeth His words means obeying His word.
Yeah.
Can I say so?
Yeah.
What if you take somebody who's 80 years old and doesn't have any knowledge of Christ or God, and somehow through all the Spirit, the conviction, he receives Christ as his Lord and Savior? So 80 years of his life, he was not obedient because he never did it. Did he say it?
You know about the parable of the parable?
I'm not saying that. Answer the question.
I'm going to answer the parable of the worker. The parable of the worker. It doesn't matter if a person has been a Christian all their life. If a person has Jesus in their hearts, they still have that same free gift. That's the parable of the worker.
You can't believe that God died for that. You can't believe that he was buried. The greatest from the dead.
That's right.
And that's salvation. Case closed. You see?
Yeah, have you ever heard of
salvation? The whole Bible is talking about that. Not only do we have to read what it says, we have to do what it says.
Exactly.
Faith in our words is dead.
Wouldn't that go with that though, Ryan? The parable of the worker?
Well, yeah, it doesn't matter if you're saved at 80 or if you're saved at 8.
It would be the parable of the worker, man. This guy came along at the last minute and got the same wage as the other one did. Because he was still entitled to what he said to make their guy. Did I not agree with you for this? And he went out and got this other guy that comes in and he's working and he complained because the other guy didn't work as much as him, but he was still entitled to the same amount, the same free gift.
And we're all called to the same calling. We are all called to walk the same way in righteousness and holiness, regardless of our age or nationality or anything. If we're saved, we should walk in a new way.
Amen.
And so this putting off of the old and renewing of the mind and putting on the new is something we do all the time. We don't just say no to sin one time and that's it, we're done with it. We have to repent all the time because there's always more sin in us that we need to turn from.
Because we're in this world.
But you know what? I'm finding that the more we walk in the Lord, the more we come to know the Lord, the less we sin.
Exactly.
You know, because, you know, one of the first things the Lord did was use my language. You know, because every other word was the F word, you know, the street talk, okay, you know. And it just changed. You know, it was almost like when I would hear it, it was like a cringe, like, you know. And then he took a little more of me, you know, it took time, but we tear you down, break you down, break you down, break you down, you know. And that becomes so much for me, one of that, you know. And that's awesome. You know, I've never had that in my life, you know. It's the greatest high I ever had. I said, you know, if that's the way I want to put it, you know. Really? God.
Right. Right. That is sort of like loving. The more you love, the easier it is.
Well, sure. Well, Christ is love. So, I mean, you are going to love, but you're going to forgive also. You're going to be compassionate about love.
Yeah.
All of those things, you know. I mean, I screw up, so don't get me wrong, but my whole intent is to walk and talk, think, and have an attitude of Christ. That's my whole way right now. How I want to live and forever. So I see.
So how are we to do this? How do we put off the old? How are we renewed? How do we put on the new? This is not something we do on our own. We do not do this in our own strength. Jeremiah wrote, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength." The work of sanctification in our lives is God's work within us, but at the same time it is our responsibility. We do make the effort to change. We have to make godly choices. We have to reject sin when it comes our way. And if it were up to us on our own, we would fail every time. So that is why we have the Spirit, the Helper. The Lord strengthens us. God is faithful. With every temptation, He gives us a way of escape.
So, I got a question.
Yes.
So then, when the Bible says that being confident of the very thing that He who started a good work in us will perform to the day of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. when we ask Jesus in our heart, He's going to perform the good work that He started in us to the day of Jesus Christ. But we have a part in it, and that's the what? To try our best to say no to sin. That's our part.
Say no to sin and say yes to God.
Yeah. And they ask him to do those things that he talks about.
Yes.
I mean, I'm just going to sit here and act like that. I asked him.
You know those guys that are in jail? You know what? This guy gave him a testimony today that he got reduced the sentence he was supposed to get, like, a long time. You know, like 25 years or something, got reduced down like 10 and still going down probation. And now the point I'm going to make here is that those guys, he really, you know, they go to maybe 3 or 4 or 5 Bible studies a day. They know the Bible. That's awesome. Yeah. And so it's awesome. And I could see the change.
Where did this start? How many
verses?
They go to how many Bibles?
3, 4, 5 How many classes?
Do you know how awesome that would be?
I would just say, you know, you would go to jail.
You know how new it is that when he comes in and says it to everybody here? I mean, that's a miracle. You know, here's a guy facing 25 years and all of a sudden he goes down to 10. That just don't happen, you know.
No.
That's not a fool. We have to
say that. I agree.
You know? That's because you're not.
And everything that we have lost, we owe the self. The result of self, I guess, and that. Now, like I'm saying, put on the new man. So now everything through Christ is changing. But don't forget, he still has to do the do that he did.
Oh, sure. There's a consequence. He's saying
there's consequences. Yeah. But it's amazing. It's amazing what God does, you know, through his Son Christ. You know, and you know, we have to acknowledge that. So much like that. You know, sin does lead to death. You know, but it's that word again, but if you know Christ, it leads to everlasting life.
Amen.
That's it.
Yeah.
And ain't nobody here to go walk across the water now. So we all sin, every single one of us. You know, and we all have to go through that.
Yeah, but we can't sit and justify it. We have to try our best to
I'm not going to do it again.
To make it.
I'm not going to do that again. But what happens? I do do it.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. I'm not. Hey, I'm.
Well, Paul says, why do I do the things I don't want to do and the things I don't want to do?
What was that talking about? What was he talking about? What was this thorn in his side?
And that's where God, Christ said to him, guess what? How many people he crucified? But I would put to death because of this. And God would take it away and say, that's okay, that's sufficient for you.
Somebody, if you read the NIV, I looked that up on the NIV study Bible, and it says that some scholars, they think it was some kind of physical thing that happened to him that hurt him, that kept him from working, things like that. Because whatever it was, it hurt him bad.
It could have been severe arthritis.
There's one theory that it's something to do with his eyes. He had written in a couple places. One place he writes in large letters, and another place he writes that the church he was writing to would have even given him their eyes if they could have. So they think that was possibly the thorn.
Wow.
But we don't know.
I don't either. I tried looking.
It's not really described that way in that passage.
But I don't know.
So, in Christ we have redemption through his blood, and part of that redemption is being delivered from the power of sin. Sin shall not have dominion over us. So we have the power of God within us, that is the Holy Spirit. He enables us to say no to sin. Before we were enslaved to our sin, we had no choice. Everything that is not done in faith is sin. So this passage here, verses 17 through 24, there is a command to no longer walk as the Gentiles walk. And he describes that walk. And then he tells them that they have not learned Christ in this manner. He instructs them to live in a new way. So there is a contrast between the old walk and the new. The old self had a futile mind, darkened understanding, a blind heart, and was ignorant. This characterized our unsaved life. In contrast to this, those who are saved have learned Christ. They have heard him and have been taught the truth in Jesus. Instead of walking in the vanity of our own mind, we walk according to the mind of Christ. Instead of walking in ignorance, we have learned Christ. We used to be self-centered, now we are to be Christ-centered. Our minds were set on earthly things, now we are to set our mind on things above. The unsaved are dominated by sin, which leads to shameless, indecent behavior, fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness is not even to be named among you as is fitting for saints. This should not characterize our lives. It shouldn't be a part of our lives at all. Our lives should be full of truth, righteousness, and holiness. The old walk grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Our own fleshly desires, the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, and the pride of life, they try to deceive us, and it leads to destruction. So instead of following every corrupting thought, we are to be renewed in our mind. There should be a change, a huge difference in the way that we think. The old thoughts led to the old way of life, and our renewed mind, focused on Christ, stayed on Him, will lead to a new walk, a walk of purity. In Romans 6, Paul writes, to walk in newness of life. We are to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are not to present our members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but to present ourselves as being alive, present ourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and our members as instruments of righteousness to God. So our new walk is to be the opposite of our old walk. This is done by the power of the Spirit and the Word of God. It is the Word of God, all Scripture that is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It is the Word of God that teaches us the truth of Christ. It is the Word of God that sanctifies us in the truth. This changes our mind, and that changes our walk. Our new walk isn't only avoiding, it is not only repenting sin that we are currently in, but it is also avoiding new sin. It's not just stopping the sins that we're already entangled in, but we are to stay out of new sin. We are to be sober, we are to be vigilant, always watching out for sin in our path. We should turn before we start into it. And this whole section describes our walk as being worthy of the calling with which we were called. Next week we will begin with verse 25. Yes.
Now we cloaked in the Lord's righteousness when we say yes to Jesus when we ask Him in our hearts.
Yes.
And where it talks about here, our minds staying focused on the Lord, on His Word. Now, what happens when that happens? It also keeps our mind where there's nothing going to penetrate our minds because we know the truth. And if someone comes along and tells us something that's not true, we don't know it because we are in His Word. And we're going to know it's a bunch of hogwash coming at us, and we believe God's Word without a doubt. We know it's true. Mm-hmm. That's
what he was talking about earlier, about no longer being children, but we are to grow in maturity. We are to grow in the Word. We should know the truth so that we are not deceived by the cunning craftiness.
And nothing can change the way we know it for a fact that God's Word is the true fact. Yeah. There is no it's above it. It's just the way it is. You know where I'm coming from? Mm-hmm. That's the way I believe. You know, I didn't, brother. Amen.
Okay. I guess we'll pray and be dismissed. Father, we desire to walk worthy of our calling. We desire to be wholly pleasing to you. We desire to grow in wisdom. We desire to walk in love as you have loved us. Help us to show your love to those around us. Help us to be bold in speaking the truth in love. Help us not to be deceived, and help us not to go along with the corrupting influence of the world around us. Help us to not give in easily to our sin. Help us not to be deceived, but to grow in the truth. In Jesus' name, amen.